Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. We've got a great show in store for you tonight. We're going to have a couple of guests on, including Nadia Ginsberg calling in probably around a quarter to the hour. And then we have Rick Caratas, who's going to be joining us in just a couple of moments. He's going to be talking about his movie Walk a Mile in My Pradas, along with his new projects, including a film about Dolly Parton, and all of the cool stuff that happens in the world of an independent writer, producer, director, singer, songwriter, all the stuff that Rick is involved with here in Hollywood. I'm super excited to have him be on the show in just a minute. But before we get to that, I want to make sure that if you've missed any of the shows earlier this week, there's always a time for you to recap and rebound to go back and listen to the shows on demand. I'm also placing all of the current week's shows on YouTube, and you can go and see them anytime. But if you want just an easy way to go back and quote-unquote watch the show, just go to my Facebook page and click the respective show, and you can just click and listen. It's that easy. Monday, we had Mary Lou. Mary Lou, as you all know, she's my dear friend from Down Under. She's in Brisbane, Australia, and she finds these amazing people all around the world that she thinks would be fun to have on the show. And so Monday, we had Rosie Shaloub. She's the director of Festival of Dreams, which is taking place in September, and really thrilled to have somebody of such an international proportion be on the show. And I think it was back in late May or June, Mary Lou had interviewed Rick Mora from the Twilight movies, and you've seen him all around, all over the place. He's going to be at the Festival of Dreams in Sydney in September, and so Rosie was kind enough to talk about that. Tuesday, we had the number one, well, she's number one, Margot Ray, and you say, who's Margot Ray? Margot Ray is number one on the AC charts, Adult Contemporary. That's what people over the age of like 25 listen to when you listen to the regular radio. She's number one this week with her song Never Too Late, which she recorded with John Oates. John Oates, of course, you'll remember from Hall and Oates and all the huge hits they've had over the years. This is a frequent collaborator that Margot works with, and this is her second chart topper with John Oates. The first one was called Let the Rain, and that actually spent 21 weeks on the charts a couple of years back, and that's a song that ended up becoming the anthem for Brides Against Breast Cancer. And for a while, Margot was the official spokesperson or ambassador for Brides Against Breast Cancer. And so that was kind of fun to have Margot back again talking about her number one song, Never Too Late. And last night we had Mary Lou back. Sometimes we have to strike while the iron is hot, and the iron's been hot this week for Mary Lou because she's been moving around Australia, going all over the place. So we're able to have her back for a second time this week. Usually we get her once a month, but this week it's twice in 1 week when we had the amazing Amanda Gore. And Amanda is a motivational speaker that travels all around the world, and she talks about different things having to do with being joyful in life. And her main project is called The Joy Project, appropriately named. And Mary Lou had a fun conversation with her. And then tomorrow night on the Friday Night Dance Party, live at 7 p.m. Some people say, is it always 7 p.m. or is it going to be some other time? It just really depends upon where the artist is at in the world, because sometimes the time zone difference just doesn't make any sense. You know, in a couple of weeks, we've got, next in August, we've got several artists that are going to be calling in from the UK. On August 14th, we've got a young man by the name of, and I know he has a real name, but he goes by MDXP, and he's going to be on at 9 a.m. The following week, we've got Mr. Jordan Adams, who looks like a young George Michael. He's on the August 21st show, again, 9 a.m., because at 9 a.m., it's 5 p.m. over in the UK, so we're catching the artist at a time that actually works a little bit better for them. But as you know, you can always listen to the show on demand. So even if I do the show at 3 a.m, whenever you want to conveniently listen to it, you can do that. Also by going to Apple iTunes and downloading it as a podcast, that is certainly doable as well. But tomorrow night, we have Shauna Burns coming back to the show. We had her on the Christmas show, or one of the Christmas shows we did earlier this, well, it was last year, but Shauna is coming back on to promote her new single called Hazel, and she'll be telling us all about that. Now, again, a little bit later in the show, we're going to be having Nadia Ginsberg on the show. I'm going to play a little Madonna for you here first, just to get us going, and we'll be right back after this.
What are you looking at?
You know, I would continue to play Vogue because it is one of my all-time favorite songs. But we're going to play a little bit more Madonna later when Nadia joins us. So, you know, let's get to our VIP special guest star of the night. Rick is joining us here from Hollywood. And I want to, Rick, how do I pronounce your last name? I've been saying it about 18 different ways this week. Can you set the record straight?
Technically, it's pronounced Karatash, even though there's no H at the end. So there's no way to get it right. Most people say Karatas, but it's actually Karatash. Yeah.
Karatash. I like Karatash. That sounds much more exotic.
Yeah. It actually means Blackstone if you translate it from Turkish. And then my legal first name is Sudi, but that's too common, so I go by Rick.
Yeah, well, because, you know, everybody's called Sudi here. So what does Sudi mean? Because it's very, I mean, it's Sudi Karatash. I mean, it sounds like you should be like an emperor.
I know. People see the name like, does he speak English? You know, it doesn't mean anything. It's actually an old family name, I guess, in Turkey. It used to be, I guess, a family name going way back. So,
well, family name's awesome. Well, number one, thanks for being here. You and I have had a chance to visit a couple of times outside of this forum, so I feel like I kind of know you a little bit. But for everybody who is hearing you for the first time tonight, I want to kind of have you tell the world who you are, because you kind of do everything. I haven't found a list that you don't fit into yet, except for, being like slothful, because you're so busy all of the time. I'm not convinced you sleep, Rick.
You're not convinced I what?
That you sleep.
Oh, yeah, no, I sleep, but that's when the best ideas come, when I'm half asleep. I gotta wake up and write it down. but yeah, mostly, I guess writing is my big thing, what I love the most, so. But I do write a lot of different things, so I guess that's what's, like songs and books and screenplays and stuff, so it's,
And you've had a variety of different projects that you work on, and I know, you know, Walk a Mile in My Prada is kind of an older project for you, but I'm still thrilled that you got it made and it's out there and it's going through that life cycle that you have eloquently shared with me, that it's going through different phases, and you have some other new projects. But you know, how did you end up out here in Hollywood?
I moved out here like 13 years ago. Do more film and TV stuff, I thought, as an actor, but I ended up, as soon as I got out here, do more writing. So I had put it off for a while, and I finally made the move, from New York to here. So I joke around, I came to Hollywood with nothing, and I'm leaving with less. No, I'm kidding. That's actually a line. So I've been out here 13 years, and I guess I plan on staying for a while longer.
Well, I certainly hope so. So what? Now you know you're a writer, but you really do quite a bit of everything having to do with the entertainment industry here. But if because I want to talk about a lot of stuff, but can we talk about this film that you ended up having made, and you had all these like Hollywood stars that are in it, Walk a Mile in My Prada? How did that come about, and how long did it take you to write?
Yeah, it took a while. And I actually had a co-writer and co-producer, Tom Marsteken. I had written a bunch of versions, and then he kind of came on board and helped with a bunch of other versions and then helped me produce it. And we had a lot of good executive producers on it, like Brian Arnott and Richard Lutz, and people that came on board to help get it made. It took probably a year to write. I mean, you write a couple of versions, and then you rewrite it, and then the budget goes way down, so you rewrite it again and take out the helicopter scene and the wedding scene and all that.
Right.
But all that takes, maybe 6 months to a year to get all that done. And then we just chopped it around, and then there was some interest, and then this fell through, and then we just decided to make it ourselves. And so we did that, and we got a good group of people, cast and crew, and I can't name them all. And, whenever I start to name some people, then I forget others. And then it's like, why didn't you name me? So we worked really hard we reached out to Tom Arnold's manager, and he liked the script, and so he came on board, and Dee Wallace and Mike Starr and Bruce Valance, and they were all great to work with. Nathaniel Marston was our lead actor. He used to be on One Life to Live, and I had known him from that show years ago, and I just knew he was perfect for that role of the lead of Tony. For those that might not know, it's basically a Freaky Friday with a gay straight twist. A macho guy, Tony, gets his sexual orientation switched with his gay coworker 2 weeks before his wedding thanks to some Christmas magic. So that's kind of the premise. And it has been out for a little while, but it was on Netflix and stuff. And but it's actually going to be shown soon in some other countries on like OUT TV, like Bulgaria and Israel and Poland and Scandinavia and stuff. So that's kind of cool. So it's still making some new rounds, I guess.
So what was it like after, you know, you get through writing this and you go through all the stuff that happens behind the scenes when you actually get a chance to, you know, see it on the quote unquote big screen? What was that like for you as a writer?
Well, it was just shooting. It was amazing. Like I felt it was, you know, just coming to life and being on the set and, you know, it was so much work and long hours, but I wasn't tired. It was a good kind of tired. Just seeing it, you know, come to life and the actors doing the lines and, I mean the lines in the script, don't get any
purpose, the context of this show, the lines on the script, that's right.
Yes, no, and and then when it was finished, again, it took a while to edit it and put the music in, and we got some great, you know, songs from people in the group, and then I guess our first screening was the cast and crew screening, which is kind of cool just to see. You know, the reactions from them. And then it did some film festivals, which was cool. I went to a lot of those. It did maybe, you know, 10 or 12. And so Fort Lauderdale was a lot of fun. There was like 200 people in the audience and they laughed a lot, which is not good because it wasn't a comedy. No, it was. I'm kidding. But, and, you know, Rhode Island I went to, and Kentucky had a festival, which is cool because my sister was out there with her family and kids and stuff. So they got to come see it and stuff. But it was cool just seeing the reactions to the audience and seeing it on, like you said, the big screen. It didn't do a theatrical release, really. So the only big screens it was on was in film festivals. But then it was on, you know, yeah, Netflix, which is cool. But, it was really exciting. I mean, it was, and, you know, can't wait to do the next one, I guess.
Well, before we get to the next one, you know, because there's always a process behind everything that you go through as a creative type, and whether you're in Hollywood or you're in Timbuktu. So, you know, you get to these film festivals and you have everybody telling you how wonderful the film is and you have a great time. Do you think, you know, what goes through your head at that point? You know, are you thinking, you know, boy, I've got it made. You know, I'm going to be up on the Academy Awards next year, or...
I'm not looking for Academy Award, but it would be nice to get a Spirit Award for Best First Feature or something, but we didn't get that. Those are pretty good, because it was a small independent film, but, you know, so a Spirit Award would have been nice, but to have it out there and if people like it, and I don't know if everyone liked it. I mean, obviously it's not everyone's cup of tea, but most people are enjoying it, and
does that help open doors when you have some success like that in film?
A little bit, yeah, because they see you've gotten a film made, and you know, even just being on Netflix, I think was kind of a good thing, and it definitely helped. I actually had somebody see the film, and then he wanted to read two of my other scripts, and he did, and then he hired me to write adapt his book into a screenplay. So that kind of came, you know, through that route. So that's kind of cool. So it does help a little bit. I mean, it would help if it was a huge, you know, movie, like it was, 40-year-old virgin or something, and then boom, you got a, you know, huge career going. But it's like I look at it as like a stepping stone, and to get the next one made. And I learned a lot from it. I wouldn't have learned as much if I went to 4 years of film school. I learned more by, because it was a smaller film and lower budget, we did the casting ourselves, we did the location scouting, we did the, you know, stuff with the props. We had many hats. Yeah.
So when you go through this, you know, and you have a success like a Walk a Mile in My Prada's, do you think, now I need to do Walk a Mile in My Prada's part two, or, you know, do you have other creative, you know, projects that you say, well, now I can finally do my fun project or my, you know, passion project?
Yeah. Well, it took me so long. Well, it took a while to get that film made, so I kept writing and writing. So I had like 10 feature film scripts, you know, done by the time and none of them are really at all like that one. So I never thought of a sequel for that one, although I do want to make it into a musical at some point, like a off-order musical. But yeah, the other scripts that I wrote were totally different, and most are comedies, some were one or two dramas. I never thought of a... Although you really need that in Hollywood because they only make remakes and sequels now. So
all my scripts now are in perfect shape.
Yeah, so all my scripts, I put Fast and Furious on the cover or Jurassic something, and so at least I know they'll read the script, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Well, so, you know, what big project are you working on now? Because I know you've got a couple that are out there. And then I want to, you know, after we talk about film, I want to talk about your songwriting.
Okay. The next film project I'm trying to do is Charlie's Dream, it's called. And we have John Schneider attached to that. I'm hoping to get Dolly Parton involved in it as well. And it's going to shoot in Nashville, Tennessee, have original country music in it. It's kind of a family inspirational film. It's about a guy who's in his 40s, hates his job. He's separated from his wife, and now he finds out he has a terminal illness, so it's comedy. No, it's actually, he's been misdiagnosed, but he doesn't know that, and he'd always want to be a country singer and decides, I only have a few years left to live. I'm going to do what I always wanted to do. So it's kind of about going after your dream long after most people would. And John Schneider is going to play that, the lead of Charlie. And so I'm excited to get that one done. It's taking a little while, but we're still looking for investors, but we have some interest in it should be a fun project, and with a little, nice message to it. Yeah.
So when you get ready to do a project like this, where do you start? Do you just wake up one day and say, okay, I've written a script, and now let's just go make the movie? I mean, what's kind of like the genesis of it, and take us through where you're at today?
Yeah. Well, some of the scripts I write, I'm like, all right, I wrote the script. Now, if someone wants to go do it, that's fine. And then some I'm a little more attached to, like I want to be more involved with, which is the case, like in Charlie's Dream. So once the script is, I guess, written, then shop it around, try and see, big agencies might want it, or small production companies, or like with Charlie's Dream, we have some interest from some people, and hopefully that they'll get it made. Some of them I want to have more maybe control of also, but it just depends on the script. Some of them, it just depends. Like one is a perfect Lifetime TV movie, so if we're trying to get it to them, it's called Justice Is Served. And but I never thought I would produce. I just like writing. I like acting. I play a small medium sized role in the Prada movie, but I produced the other one just to get it made, and I actually, there's some stuff that's just a pain in the neck, and really has nothing to do with filmmaking. It's all the stuff that just, life, and everything is, just paperwork alone, it complicates everything. But I kind of enjoyed producing it also, so I do want to produce some more of them. Some may even want to direct something. I haven't directed. Joey Sylvester directed this one, the Prada movie. But at some point, yeah, that might be a good thing to do, especially, I think I answered your question. I forgot what you asked.
Well, no, it's just I think that, with a man that wears so many hats, I think it's hard to limit yourself on what you want to do. By the way, before we go any further, I want to tell you that Tony from Hackensack, New Jersey is listening, and he says to say hi to you tonight. So,
Tony,
hi, Tony.
From Actors Connection? Oh, Tony G. Oh, how you doing, Tony? What blank something, something blank. He does a whole match game thing. It's an inside joke. But welcome. I'm glad he's listening. I was supposed to, I think, remind him, and I don't think I remember to remind him to.
Well, he actually sent me a note earlier today. Says, what's the link? I want to make sure I hear Rick tonight. I said, okay, there we go.
Right,
so
cool.
He's listening. So he says to say hello. So, when you are working on different things, because I know that you have a background in writing. Have you always been a writer?
No, I actually went to school for marketing, college marketing, and then I, went to HB Studios for acting and stuff like that. And I used to write songs, and then I started writing sketches, and I never thought I'd write a full script or anything. And then I got the idea for the Prada movie, and I wrote that. I took a screenwriting workshop for like 12 weeks, and a lot of the script came from that. And then I read other people's scripts. I had other people read my scripts, make suggestions. I read books on screenwriting. I just love writing. And I'm even also wrote a book even recently, which is just about finished and being edited, called The Other Birds and Bees, a fun guide to speaking to kids about LGBT relatives. So that was kind of different to write a book. And I got a lot of stories from people and stuff, and added my own two cents here and there.
But, well, we're going to have you back to have when the book is out, because as we say, called move some merch. So hopefully we can sell some books for you. So we'll have you back when that's out. But when you get ready to do a project, whether it's a film or a book or a song, what is your writing process like? I mean, do you have a different hat that you wear when you want to write a movie versus writing a song?
No, I mean, a lot of times I'll just get ideas for something. It might be a script idea, it might be a song idea, and I'll write it down, and just depending on what mood I'm in that day, I'll say, okay, let me work on, like if I have songs that I've written or started, I'll say, okay, which of these are kind of jumping out at me and I feel like are better than the others, or just certain ones seem to come easier or that I feel more strongly towards. So I'll, you know, I try to write, you know, at least 4 or 5 days a week, at least some, whether it be as working on a script. I sometimes have a couple things at once. Like I have a couple scripts that have started. And again, it depends which one really the story's coming more than the other ones. As far as songs, again, I have a lot, you know, like demos of songs and trying to get those out there. And so, yeah, it depends.
Does your head ever hurt?
Does my what?
Does your head ever hurt from like having so many different things that are just all jumbling around at the same time? Or I guess, how do you, you know, kind of keep your focus for each of the different ones in a cohesive manner? Because I think what you're doing is absolutely spectacular.
Well, it is. Sometimes it does seem a little overwhelming because there's so many different things. And even though I wanted to like Charlie's Dream next, like sometimes I might be interested in another script. I'm like, oh, okay, let me send them that script or, you know, retweak it or whatever. So now I'm back like kind of looking through that script and stuff. But my head doesn't really hurt, but it definitely gets jumbled up sometimes. But on what to do next, yeah, it's, you know, I don't have ADD, but in a way, I think everyone has a little bit of ADD. Like, you know, you're doing one
sure.
thing, and then, you know, oh, wait, no, I got to do this. And then, you know, I am doing like 3 or 4 things at once sometimes where, you know, so, but, you know, I try to get the ones that I feel stronger about, or, yeah, especially with, like songs, there's certain ones, and I try to do, you know, if I had more, it's, you got to make the demos for the songs and get someone to do that. So, and I sometimes sing on my own demos, but I can only carry a tune if it's not too heavy. So yeah, I, you know, and you have CDs you put out too, so you kind of know how that is.
Well, okay, but anything that I've done, Rick, pales by comparison because I haven't written screenplays, I haven't written a book, I haven't done, you know, and I always say yet, okay, but so as of today, I haven't done a lot of the things that you've gone through and lived and experienced and really successfully managed. And so, you know, being able to talk to you about how you, you know, balance, you know, writing a book for kids versus writing an adult screenplay versus writing a country song, to me is overwhelming. I can't even wrap my head around how somebody would do that, but I'm in awe and shock of what
well,
you do.
I would feel better if more of these were out already. But it's one thing to write them. It's the hard part is getting them out there, but they will get out there. And, you know, it's, you know,
but you know, you're doing what you need to do. You know, you're doing the networking, you're getting things done. You know, you're having the right types of meetings with people. And I think that, you know, as far as, you know, everybody in Hollywood goes, you know, everybody's one big break away from, you know, the having the number one show or the number one movie or the number one song. So, you know, the fact that you have your hands in so many different buckets of the community, I think is really interesting. So I want to ask you kind of going into the songwriting mode here, because you hold, and I'm probably going to screw this up how I phrase it, but you hold like songwriting workshops in the LA area. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. I just recently became a co-coordinator with NSAI, which is Nashville Songwriters Association, Inc. They're based out of Nashville, but they have chapters in all the states. So I've been going to them for a while, and we have once a month songwriting workshops where people can come and play their songs. We critique them. NSAI is a great organization down in Nashville. You can send songs into them. They critique them also, and they have special events that go on throughout the year, and they have mentoring things online and pitch to publishers and things like that. So it's a great thing for songwriters to become a part of, become members of it. And then our workshops are usually in the Pasadena area, usually on a Sunday from like 6 to 9. So members, it's free for members, and it's if someone's not a member, they're welcome to come to one or two for free, and then after that they would have to join NSAI, or I think it's like a $15 fee each thing. But they're really fun. You can find good co-writers sometimes. I actually met this woman artist who we just co-wrote 2 songs, had a blast doing them, and we're actually making the demos for those now and stuff. So it's a good thing. It's people
How
can
big
either
are the
bring
groups?
A CD. Yeah. It's usually like 10 to 12, or the most 15. Sometimes they have a bigger event, so you might get 50 or 60 people. But the actual workshops are kind of smaller, and we get, which gives us a lot more time to help each other with the songs and give ideas and feedback. And there's different, I know there's a, I think there's one, oh, there's also a San Diego chapter, so people that live closer to there go to that one. And then there are obviously other states. So if anyone's in the states listening now and you're a songwriter, and even though it's in Nashville, it's mostly country, but not all country. It's, you know, all kinds of music, all genres. So it's a good organization to join.
So if somebody wanted to come in and do a meeting, you said they'd come for like the first meeting or something at no charge, which is always cool because it's, you know, you get, let them get their feet wet and get involved. What would they expect on a typical meeting? How would that 3 hours be spent on a Sunday night from 6 to 9?
A lot of it is that people bring their own songs and either play live with a guitar or whatever, or they bring a CD with lyric sheets. And, you know, we do a little bit of news, questions and answers or news, like what have people been up to with their songwriting, anything good to report, kind of letting people know about them a little bit. Sometimes we do a little lesson, some kind of a songwriting lesson, and then we concentrate a lot on the critiques of the songs. And we find that when we help critique other songs, and again, their opinions and stuff, they're just, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. But a lot of times it helps you as a songwriter listening to other songs and critiquing those songs. And, it's what the meetings we do, and it helps, again, with the co-writing or or what people in the business, the songwriting world or the music world are looking for, what might make it a better song or more commercial or, you know, so we talk about those kind of things and, you know, recommend different places they might want to do demos or, you know, some good books that are on songwriting and things like that.
Do people also go for like the networking that they get out of this, or is it really just going to, you know, critique the song and, you know, let me be a better songwriter?
A little bit of each. Yeah. I mean, there, you know, that's kind of the goal is to find, and sometimes in finding a co-writer, you never know who they sometimes know. Someone, you know, you're doubling your of who they know and who might get the get their song to and stuff. Networking, definitely networking has a lot to do with it. And the bigger events too are good for that. A lot of times at the bigger events, they'll have A&R people or publishers come and listen to your song. So that's kind of a good way to have them hear it. So,
okay, let me ask you this. We're going to have about like five or seven more minutes with you because I know you've got to run. You are going to another event tonight, so we get you for this tiny little snapshot.
Yeah.
What is fun for you to do? And, you know, because sometimes, you know, and I'll ask this from a bigger perspective here is that, you know, you're a writer and you write because writers write and writers write always. But what about all of the stuff that you do is fun? And then also what's not fun?
You mean apart from writing? You mean?
Are you talking well, about? Just
but
maybe
not,
it's part of the process, or just you know, your
oh,
how
okay,
you
yeah,
your career.
Well, yeah, the writing I love. I would, if I had more time, I would be do more of that. The stuff that I and the creativity, I like that, and thinking of ideas, and working with other people. I love all that stuff. I think it's some of the business end stuff and the things you have to deal with. In everything from getting the movie made, even beforehand, and the ridiculous things. And I don't know if I'm going to think of things off the top of my head, but I don't know. As humans, we complicate everything. So something that a little should be simple, you know, this should take 5 minutes, takes like 3 hours, you know. A lot of the business stuff of getting people who waste your time, that's a big one. Like, you know, even with the other film, I don't know, some people pretend they're interested, they're going to invest and all that kind of stuff, and in the end, they don't even have money to invest. It's like, why are you pretending to have money to invest in something? What purpose does it serve? You know, so there's people, you know, in that aspect. But I do love the, you know, the creativity, writing. It's time fly. Like, if I sit down and write, it'll be like 3 hours later. I'm like, oh, my God, where did that time just go? And if I'm doing other things, my joke is, like, when you're at work, you know, 4 hours goes so slowly, but 30 years of your life goes just like that, you know, in a snap. I think everyone should do what they love doing because, you know, it's time will go faster if you enjoy it. But it's the things to get, you know, the other things to get the films made or get, even to get the book made. You know, I had to make a book proposal for the book. That takes a lot of time and effort, and then got to send that out to literary agents. You got to make a query letter, email those out. So it's just a lot of work just to even get that in someone's hands to read it, to, you know, that kind of thing. Or same thing with this, a script, you know, it's getting it out there or, you know, but,
it's almost like the creative part's the easy part for you.
In a way, yeah. And I mean, not that, there is, it is a lot of work and it depends on the, you know, even a script, like you don't just write one or two versions, you rewrite and rewrite and it's, you probably have 30, I mean, probably have 30 versions of Welcome Mama Prada, you know, and the Charlie's Dream, again, at least 20, 25 versions, you know, not versions,
wow.
But, you know, you change things.
Major rewrites, yeah.
Rewrites, yeah. It's a lot of rewriting. So, but, you know, I enjoy it. So, you know, I'm trying to think what else in that, like, it's fun, you know, I mean, like I said, the film festivals were fun to go to, too. I enjoyed it. I love traveling. I wish I, you know, if I had more money to travel, I would have. I missed two of the festivals, I think. One was in Chicago, but they let us know at the last minute. Like, and otherwise, I think I did make most of them, though. But, yeah, I love traveling, too. So, if I, like, the next film is supposed to shoot in Tennessee, so that'll be fun to go there. One, I want to shoot in New York, so that'll bring me back to my hometown and hopefully I can get people involved, friends from there involved in it, in that one. And I should probably try to write a movie that shoots in Turkey so I can visit relatives there that keep saying,
yeah,
when are you coming to Turkey?
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, and we've got somebody else in the Blog Talk chat room tonight. And I'm and Joseph, if I mispronounce your name, I apologize. Joseph Mackey, M-A-A-K-E.
Oh, Joe Mackey in Syosset?
Yeah.
Joe
Joseph
Mackey.
Is saying hello to you tonight as well. So you got your fan club here. And he says it's wow. Sudi. He doesn't call you Rick. He calls you Sudi.
Oh, well, yeah. People from high school know, yes, it was Sudi. It's still Sudi, but it's also Rick.
Still,
so
There you go. Well, I guess, so my last question for you, I have two questions. Number one, what advice would you give to somebody who's new, young, or old in the business who wants to do what you're doing today? And then number two, where do you want people to stalk you on social media?
Okay. The advice I would give is if it's what you really want to do, just go for it all out. You know, because I made the mistake of getting sidetracked with other things, trying to be realistic, trying to, you know, like I said, I went to school from the college for marketing and business, and then I did this. And instead of just going half at it, like, I mean, I think if when I was younger, I just said, this is what I'm going to do. And I just went, just go for it. You can always change your mind later if something doesn't work or if you decide that's not what you want to do. But I think too many people want to do something and don't do it because they feel they have to be practical or realistic or their parents don't want them to do it or whatever. And, you know, I think I might've made this movie like 15 years ago if I, you know, and been further along. So that's, I think the more I get involved with it, the more focused I think I get and the more determined I get rather than like, you know, it's probably better if you start out that way and just and go. Cause I think anyone that really has made it, I haven't really made it. I'm going to maybe make it to the middle, you know, and stuff, but you know, the people that really are at the top, like you would talk about Madonna and you go play Madonna. She just knew what she wanted to do, went for it, boom, got, you know, someone like Dolly Parton that I want to get my next movie. They just knew what they want to do. They just went for it. They didn't let anyone else stop them. So that's kind of, I look up to someone like that who does that. And that would be my advice, I guess. And, oh, you asked me about like social media and stuff. I have a website where actually, the link for the DVD is on there, too, for PayPal and all that kind of stuff for Welcome On My Product. That website is, I'll give everyone a second to get a pen. No, I'm kidding. It's
Rick, go ahead and spell it out, yeah. But I'll tell you, everybody who's listening to the show tonight, if you're listening on Blog Talk, and I say if you're listening on Blog Talk, because this is also being broadcast in the UK on Westar Radio Network, but if you're listening here in the States and you are on the Blog Talk format, we've actually put a link to the Walking a Mile of My Prada's trailer. You can actually watch that, but there's also a link to Rick's website to just click. But Rick, for everybody who's just listening everywhere else and they have a pen and paper, where do we go?
Yeah, www.rickkaratas, that's R-I-C-K-K-A-R-A-T-A-S, .com. So it's www.rickkaratas.com. That's the website. I'm on Facebook as under Rick Sudi Karatas. And I finally got a Twitter thing, although that's, oh, you tell me what I don't like. It's like I really was forced to get Twitter. I've sent maybe 20 tweets only, but I know I have to increase that. So I think that's at Sudirick, S-U-D-I-R-C-K is the Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn for some reason, not sure why yet. So what else is there? There's, let's see, Facebook, Twitter. I haven't done Instagram yet.
We're getting you there.
Yeah. I know there's something else. I'm just not thinking what else. I'm on Facebook quite a bit. I enjoy that. That's kind of fun. And
there we go. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Rick, it is a pleasure to have you here tonight. When your book comes out for the kids, I want you to come back. We'll spend some time talking about it. Maybe have you read a few pages out of that.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah. It's actually for adults about kids and how to talk to kids about different subjects. About LGBT, So,
let's cool.
I look forward to that. I appreciate you having me on. It's been fun, and I'm glad.
Then we'll go and hang out again soon, sometime soon. I hope so.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
So with that, I know you need to go, so I'm going to bid you adieu. So Rick, you have a great night. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
And everybody else, now we're really going to play the full Vogue. So see, before it was just a teaser for Vogue, but now we're going to play the full Vogue, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Nadia Ginsberg.
What are you looking at?
Now, who doesn't like a little classic Madonna? We'll be having Nadia Ginsberg join us in just a couple of moments. But before she joins in, I want to give a big shout out to a couple of people, including Zachary Glass. He's the president of OC Pride, Orange County Pride here in Santa Ana. We're going to be starting a week-long celebration in Orange County starting Monday, July 27th through Sunday, August. Did I say that date right? Monday, July 27th through Sunday, August 2nd in Orange County. And Zachary Glass will be joining us on Monday's show on the 20th to talk about the really cool things that are happening here in Orange County for OC Pride. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, every Pride is a little bit different. And I think sometimes people get hung up on whether it's, you know, going to be just like LA or New York or San Diego or, you know, a major, major big city Pride, because most prides around the country, as I'm finding out talking to the various organizations, really are much smaller and more family focused. And not that LA Pride isn't family focused, but you know, it's not having a million people show up and congregate in, you know, West Hollywood over the course of, you know, a day or two, and then everybody departs. You know, a lot of the prides around the country, and we talked to the fantastic folks at Central Oregon Pride offline. I've been talking to people in Savannah, Georgia. We've got Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio. I've got different organizations all around the country that I've been talking to. And, you know, they keep saying, well, our pride's not like, you know, LA, or our pride's not like New York. And I think that that's actually kind of a good thing, because if you want a, you know, a big party atmosphere type of an event, like you would have at an LA Pride or maybe a New York Pride, then I think that that's great. But Zachary and I talked about many of the things that makes OC Pride different from something that's on a much larger scale today. So I'm really excited to have him join the show on Monday to talk about that. And next Tuesday's show, just to talk a little bit about future upcoming guests, Jeanette Barber. You might remember her as the co-host or the on-air personality on her own right for the Rosie O'Donnell show that was on SiriusXM a couple of years ago. And Jeanette is a comedian, she's a philanthropist, she is a human rights advocate, and she's going to be with us on Tuesday's show. And I'm really excited to hear what's been going on with her, because she, you know, always had so many fun things that she would be talking about with Rosie on her show. And then when that ended, Jeanette had her own show for a little bit of time. And one of the things that I found most fascinating about her, and she'll tell us all about this on Tuesday, is that, you know, she, you know, in growing up, she had never wanted kids. It was in a relationship, never wanted kids. And, you know, now she's of a certain age and never wanted kids and doesn't really like kids. But one of the things that she loves to do is volunteer for medical missions for children, where she flies around the world to these, you know, really destitute third world nations and goes into different communities with doctors to help kids with cleft palates and to go in and help the kids along the way. So really, really cool conversations with Jeanette are coming up on Tuesday the 21st. But right now, I have the pleasure of introducing the world-famous comedian Nadia Ginsberg. And everybody knows her from her famous Madonna logs. And everybody knows Nadia from her famous portrayals of Cher and so many other people. And Nadia, welcome to Rated G Radio, my dear. You are a godsend to be here tonight, and I'm so grateful that you're here.
Well, actually, it's not Nadia, it's Madonna.
Madonna's calling! I can't believe Madonna made it to Rated G Radio. Finally got to meet people.
Yeah.
How are you, Madonna?
I'm good.
New album.
I'm great. Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, you know, I had to be artistically raped, but, you know, my demos leaked. But anyway, that's old news, and I'm anything but old. So I just wanted to say I'm calling to promote a show called Madonna Logs, starring Nadia Ginsberg, and it happens monthly at the Cavern Club Theater at Casita del Campo in Silver Lake. This month's special guests include RuPaul Drag Race star Kelly Mansell, star of Not Looking, comedian Justin Martindale, rock and roll showgirl Diamondback Annie, and star of Alaska Thunderfuck video Anus. Quaint title, right? Love Connie Fame. Yeah, very quaint. John Cantwell. And people just go to cavernclubtheater.com. But I have to go do a high colonic of La Mer body cream. So I'm going to give the phone to Nadia. All right, bye.
Thanks, Madonna. Bye, Madonna. Oh, my gosh. Nadia, you didn't tell me you were going to have Madonna on with you. You guys are always like BFFs hanging out.
Well, it's kind of, I didn't expect it. She was on her way to her La Mer High Colonic and this new yoga class where you light yourself on fire. And she stopped by and just grabbed the phone.
She's prone
Garrett.
To do.
Oh my
How
gosh.
How are you, Garrett? This is fun to be on your show. How are you?
Well, I'm a little giddy. I mean, to be quite honest, because I've been a fan of yours for a long time. Last year, you were in a huge film that I thought was fantastic, starring a wonderful human being, Dennis Hensley, and the film won several awards, If We Took a Holiday. And that's really where I got a chance to meet you for the first time. What's been going on in your crazy world besides season one of Madonna Logs and now a season two? There's a lot right there.
Well, yes, that is a lot. That's basically what I've been concentrating on is writing the season two of the web series I did called Madonna Logs. And I also do this monthly show, which is when I go on the road with my show, I do different characters. So I'll do Madonna and Cher, sometimes Winona Ryder, and a few original characters. And I'll show videos while I change. But when I'm in town, I'm so lucky. I have so many talented and wonderful friends. So I do a more of a variety show format. And when I do my show in town, I do it at this place called Casitas El Campo, which has a really interesting history. There was a man named Rudy Del Campo who came to America when he was 21 from Mexico. He didn't speak any English. And at the age of like 21, decided to pursue a career in dance, which is like unheard of, as you know. It's like someone deciding to be a football player, like, you know, at 21. And not only did he succeed, but he ended up in West Side Story and all of Bob Fosse's movies. And so Casita del Campo, isn't it cool? It's the house that Rudy del Campo built. And so all of it's a gay and Mexican. And in the basement is a wonderful theater that seats like 80 to 100 people. And you can bring margaritas down there. And I had such a treat and a delight. My last show, this really handsome guy looked like maybe like really well-preserved, like in his 80s, but so handsome, came up to me after the show and said he enjoyed it. And it ended up being Bernardo from West Side Story. Do you know the main shark? Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't it cool? His name's George, I think Chocolate or Chickless. And he's actually, I think, Armenian or Greek, maybe Greek, but he played a Puerto Rican. Those are different times. You know, Jews played Indians. I mean, Native American. And so I just love performing there. It's my little home away from home, and other Jackie Beat performs there. That's what I'm working on right now, getting ready for on Tuesday. And I'm going to be doing my show in New York in September 17th and 18th, and then in Philly on the 19th. So that's basically what I've been up to.
You gather no moss. I love that. So when did you decide that you wanted to come up with your own video series for the Madonna Logs? Because quite frankly, as soon as that hit, I pushed everyone else out of the way and I said, I'm going to be Madonna's. I'm going to be Nadia's OC fan club president from now on. And, you know, it's so brilliantly done.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, life is very funny. I do lots of different impressions, but because a lot of gay fans like Madonna and Cher, I just started making a show that was around the most popular impression. And also, she's a very interesting, I grew up with Madonna, and she's this kind of person that I have this one gay couple that's friends that come to my shows, and they said, the husband said, I love Madonna, and my husband hates her, and we both love you, so you must be doing something right. And I think Madonna is like that for a lot of people. We sort of she's wonderful and this kind of great feminist in many ways, but then also can be exasperating. But because she's a woman and her currency is her body, you know, a lot of it, her sexuality, it's like a double-edged sword. So she's always has to fight so hard, and she's an interesting person, and she's a smart person. So it's a fun, the character I've created is based on her, you know, who knows what she's really like, it's fun to play. And everyone has an opinion about her because everyone kind of that I know my age grew up with her.
Well, you know, wasn't it recently that Madonna also, she had to have watched your Madonna logs because she was on, was it Jimmy Fallon? And she was basically copying you.
Well, and who, you know, who knows? The jury is
who
out.
Who knows,
all I
right.
know is, I did her, I've been doing her, doing stand-up in my act for a while. And yes, in my web series, I made it, there's a scene with Rocco and she makes a joke about dating his friends. And I have her have friends who work in the hair and makeup business, and they told me she has watched them, seen my stuff. Who knows? Either way, it was very weird that she ended up doing something that was in my act. So either she watched, which is a compliment, or I've climbed up her vagina into her soul, and that's a very distinguished place to be. So either way, I'm quite tickled. You know
now,
where?
It tickled in the you know where. Now someplace else that I think you're probably tickled is the fact that you've worked with some of the greats in the business. You've also worked with Joan Rivers, bless her heart, and rest her soul, as a writer, or what did you do for Joan?
Yeah, I worked on her show Fashion Police. So we, and for other times when she performed, other people wrote jokes for Joan. Yes.
Very cool.
She was a complicated figure, also not unlike Madonna. She had a lot of,
You're so diplomatic.
Because she ultimately did inspire me and I look up to her, but she's allowed to be a real person too. And it's hard to be a woman, another woman who was told at 30, your career is over, you're a woman, you're in comedy. If you haven't made it, you're not going to make it. And really, what a fighter. And I think about that all the time. She really inspired me and inspired a lot of people, I think, you know, for her perseverance. Like, that wasn't fun on the red carpet. She didn't want to be saying, who are you wearing? You know, but she did what she had to do, which is so much of what show business is like for most people, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, you know?
What's show business like for you?
Oh, gosh, it's the same. It's tough. It's tough for everybody, I think. I think anytime you take art and you try and make it commerce, it's a complicated equation, I think, and being a woman in my business too has the same challenges. It's the same that it did for any other woman in the business. So I think once I was bartending in a hotel and a woman came in and she said, you know what they never tell you about having children? I said, what? She said, you always love them, but you don't always like them. And to me, I've learned to be philosophical with my life, like show business and performing and art I love. But some days you wake up and you don't like it, but that's part of life, you know? And so you can, it's like an annoying boyfriend or husband or wife or child, anything that you is, or a baby that you love. So, you know, like all beautiful things, it takes, you know, a kind of a certain philosophical attitude, you know,
philosophical attitude that you won't have to get through is on July 21st at Casita del Campo. You're performing there, headlining there. Where do people get tickets and how do we find out more?
They go to cavernclubtheater.com, and it's theater the American way, not like the way people talk funny way, says Madonna. So it's cavernclubtheater.com. You can always look up my name, which is Nadia, N-A-D-Y-A, Ginsburg, like our Supreme Court Justice, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, G-I-N-S-B-U-R-G. I'm on social media on Facebook and Twitter, and even on that new stupid Periscope.
Okay, how is Periscoping going for you? Are you having any issues with it? Is it super fun?
It feels weird. Like, it feels like the Truman Show, and I can, know, and so it's a little strange, but I do like that you can, you connect in real time, which is cool. But the whole thing, it's such a brave new world, but, you know, I don't know. It's too early, but I have had some fun on it. I've had some, I can't really judge it. It's, yet. Are you on it?
I'm on it. I tried to Periscope down at the 4th of July parade here in Huntington Beach, and I kept having connection issues, and then it didn't want to upload. And so, you know, but I had like 20 or 30 people that were watching it, and then I wanted to put it up as a YouTube, you know, like Derek and Romaine would do on their Periscopes on YouTube from the radio, and I just wasn't having any luck with it. So I put it off to the side for now, and I said I've got bigger fish to fry because I've got Nadia coming on Thursday night.
Well,
so,
we should follow each other. Let's do
that. Totally. I will do that. One more way to keep track of you. And I'm going to let you go because it's time for you to go be a star.
But oh, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. And congratulations on the success of Gay's Wedding. And I'm so sorry I could not make it to the premiere. Well, I was working that night. But
you gotta be a
that's
star.
Very exciting. And it's an honor to be on your show. Thank you so much.
You. Thank you so much. And I wish you all the greatest success. And one of these days, we are going to share that leaf of lettuce and a cup of water. I promise you.
Yes.
There we go. Say hi to Madonna for me. Talk to you later, Nadia.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Everybody else, thanks for being here. We're going to be live tomorrow night on the Friday Night Dance Party with Shauna Burns with her new single, Hazel. And this is going out for Nadia, Little Livin' for Love.
First you love me and I let you in. Made me feel like I was born again. You empowered me, you made me strong. Built me up and I could do no wrong. I let down my guard, I fell into your arms. Forgot who I was, I didn't hear the alarms. Now I'm down on my knees, alone in the dark. I was blind to your game, you fired a shot in my heart.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.